I was being a dutiful dad and a father-in-law, and now I'm wiped out. So, you know, it was an exciting afternoon. I got to see Brian and Erica's new home. It was a thrill. It was a real joy. So I'm going to ask, let me see, Brother DeLucia, would you please lift up your voice and ask for God's blessing on this evening's service, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you as you allow us to gather together this day to hear these words. We pray you put the words into Pastor Wilson's mouth and that he bless us with all that he has. The Lord Jesus we heard this morning, and we hope we never have to hear the end of the Lord Jesus, because that's our hope and our prayer of every day of our life. And I pray that you look down on this message and that we all get something from it. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Amen. If you would, everyone, please stand and sing with me. Hymn number 140. 140, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Hymn number 140 in your blue hymnal. and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to shout that through the rooftops. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful song. I love that song. Let's turn to our last song, 503. 503.
I know not why.
Amen. Thank you, ladies, for that. I'm glad I know who I believe in. He's able to keep that, which I committed against that day. We're going to go a little different this evening. We usually on Sunday nights look at 1 Thessalonians. But tonight I'd like to take a little detour and take your Bibles. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word this evening, if you please stand, if you're able to. From Matthew chapter number 14. Let me look in this evening. Matthew chapter 14. In verse number 22, Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. This little backdrop here before we get into the story of this with Jesus and his disciples. He had just fed the 5,000 men, women, and children with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And after he feeds them, you know, he helps the people out, and they try to come by force and make him king, which it wasn't time yet for him to become king. So he sends them away, and then he sends his disciples into a ship, and he goes up into a mountain to pray. But the Bible says here, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he went, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another opportunity to gather this evening. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct now tonight, Lord. I pray you clear my thoughts, Father. Lord, just give me the words to speak, dear God. It would help us to glean everything we can from this portion of Scripture. Lord, it would help us to draw closer to in these last days that we're living in. And Father, that we would just stay faithful. And may you just receive the glory and honor and praise now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, the Bible says, And straightway Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Here the Lord Jesus sends his disciples on a journey that they will not be able to complete without him in the ship. Jesus sends his disciples on a mission, so to speak. Jesus sends his disciples on a path that he knows that without him, they will never be able to make it to that side of the land. It's interesting, when I looked at the map of the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias right there in the northern part of Israel, it's not a very large body of water. Its length is about 11 miles, and at the midst of its width, it's about 8 miles. But if you look at a map where they supposedly where Jesus fed the 5,000 to where they had to go to Capernaum, it was maybe 2 to 4 miles of travel upon the water. So it wasn't a very long journey that Jesus was sending them on, but he knew as soon as he put them into that ship and sent them away to go to that other side, he knew, Jesus knew, they will never make it to that other side until I get into the ship with them. This journey by these disciples is in one way, we're going to look at it this evening in a couple ways, but in one way, this journey that the Lord sends these men on is a journey of salvation. You see, this pictures salvation in some ways. You see, we cannot get to the desired haven of heaven without the Lord in the midst of the ship. There's no way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ our Lord. The keeping of commandments, laws, or statutes will never justify one in the sight of God Almighty. Romans chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20 say this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." Jesus sends them on this mission to get over to the other side, knowing they can't make it unless he gets in the ship with them. Look at verse number 23 now. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." In the book of Mark, you find the same story here as in Matthew. And the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 48, that, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them." John says this, he says, "When they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." So the disciples get in the ship, they're rowing, they're toiling. They've gone about 20 or 30 furlongs before Jesus happens to pass by. That 20 or 30 furlongs is about between 2 to 3 miles. They've been out there in the sea rowing, trying to get where God wants them to go. And they're not very far from where they're trying to get, but they just can't get there because the wind is contrary to them. You see, when we try to work out our own salvation, it will lead to our lives being tossed about upon the seas of life. There's a lot of individuals out there today trying to work out their own. They're trying to work for salvation. And in doing so, they toil along in a dark night without ever reaching true happiness and satisfaction. The question I have this evening is, do you have true peace and hope within of what Jesus Christ has done for you? The word tossed means thrown upward suddenly with a jerk, made to rise and fall suddenly. Toiling means laboring with pain. Contrary means opposite, adverse. Everything that these disciples are trying to do is going in the wrong direction for them. And sometimes it feels like that in life as well as believers. The Lord sends you on a certain path. You know God's in it. You know God's behind it. But it seems like the more you struggle and try to get where you want to go, the wind's contrary. The waves are contrary. It's blowing. You're rowing. You're toiling. And yet you're not getting where you desire to be. See, as we try to do things in our own arm of flesh, we don't get where we want to be. You know, one of the reasons why these disciples were having a hard time with things? Their heart was hardened. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing with them. I think it's in the book of John. We'll see it a little bit later on. I believe John says in his account of this, says that their hearts were hardened, because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves and fishes. You see, they weren't in the right position that they needed to be in, and the Lord said, "You know what, I'm going to send you on a little journey, and I want you to get somewhere that I know you can't get there without me helping you out." You know, with what I preached this morning and talked about this morning, there's no way that we can implement all these things in our lives that God desires for us to implement unless He's in the midst of our life. It's impossible, brethren. It's impossible to have grace with others if Jesus isn't in the midst. It's impossible to have patience with others unless Jesus is in the midst. It's impossible to have the charity and the long-suffering and the grace and the mercy unless Jesus is in the midst of the ship. These disciples are out there toiling, trying to get the other side, and they cannot make it. Take your Bible and look over at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 13 and 17. Brethren, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is our all. He's everything. You see, we get where we need to be with the Lord by our side and the Lord guiding, leading, and directing us. Without Jesus' direction and guidance and help, we're lost. I said something this morning, and I believe in the Sunday school hour, referring to this life that we live, and the quicker we realize that we can't hold on to this life, and the quicker we realize what we have in Jesus Christ, the quicker we'll be able to get where He desires for us to be. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about in our own spiritual walks. The quicker we realize that this life that Jesus Christ has given us, this life that God has given us to live, is a life that needs to be lived to give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. We were created to bring Him pleasure. And that is the purpose of why we are here tonight and why we are alive. Look at Ecclesiastes 5, verse 13. Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 13. He says, "This is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. He begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." Solomon says here in this book of Ecclesiastes that there's a sore evil in that all he did, all he accumulated, all he built, he realized that eventually someday he is going to pass off the scene and it's going to be left into the hands of his son. And it didn't take long for all of Israel to get messed up and it to be destroyed and taken away. And Solomon says, this is a sore evil for those who strive to lay up for this life when they don't realize, as he says in verse 15, that as they came in this world naked from their mother's womb, they shall return the same way and they will take nothing with them. The disciples had in their mind as they were striving about after the miracle of the five loaves and two fishes, their hearts were hardened because they considered not the miracle that Jesus had just done. Jesus had taken five loaves and two fishes from a little boy, and he fed over 5,000 men, not counting women and children. That is a miracle that the Lord had done. But what is even a greater miracle tonight, brethren? What is even a greater miracle tonight is that we have the opportunity to live a life that's pleasing to God. That's more of a miracle than those five loaves and two fishes feeding 5,000 people. Right now, if you were honest, you would have to say that you are a miracle of grace. I'm a miracle of grace this evening, brethren. I'm a miracle of grace in the sense that God, Jesus Christ, would be willing to give me an opportunity, number one, to be saved. And then after that, not only be saved, give me a life that I now have the opportunity to live for Him and bring Him now glory and honor through my very existence. That is a high honor. That is a privilege, and it's a miracle that the Lord allows us to live this life. Don't allow our hearts to be hardened tonight, dear brethren. The disciples' hearts were hardened, and they needed Jesus to get on the ship. Take your Bible, look back over at Matthew chapter number 14, and look at verse number 25. The Bible says that in Matthew 14, 25, that He came unto them in about the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. These men had been working all day with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw Him do this miracle of feeding the 5,000. They helped feed the 5,000. Brethren, just think about how long it would take to feed 5,000 people. That was a long day's work by those disciples walking up and down those rows that the Lord had those men to sit in and feeding them all. And then they get done, evening's coming on, and the Lord says, you know what? Instead of going up in the mountain with me to pray, I want you to get in that ship and I want you to go over to Capernaum. I want you to get in that ship and I want you to go over to the other side. But Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm wore out. Lord, we just did all these things. And Jesus says, but you have need of something. You have need of getting in that ship and going over to the other side. Why, Lord? Because the Lord sees and the Lord knows. He says, disciples, your hearts are hardened to the miracle that you've seen today. It's the fourth watch of the night. They're out there toiling and rowing at 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the Bible says in verse number 24, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Brethren, I want you to see this port right here. Jesus is not in the ship with them at this point. He was alone up on the mountain praying for them. They were in the midst of the sea, tossed about with the waves because the wind was contrary. It's now the fourth watch of the night. They're tired. They're wore out. They're on the sea. They're not getting where they need to be, which should have been a quicker journey than what it is. And I bet you it can enter in their mind, where is Jesus now when I need Him? You see, Jesus notices all our struggles as we attempt to go forward, not only in our saved walk, but in a lost individual striving to know His God. What a compassionate God that we serve. You see, any sinner who is striving to do what the Lord has commanded and is seeking His face can be confident of this one thing, that the Lord sees their efforts. And the same can be said for any believer in Jesus Christ. If you feel like you're out there in the midst of that sea, out there in darkness, you're toiling, you're rowing, you're wore out, the wind is contrary, you're tired, you're beat up, one thing you can realize is that Jesus sees all that you're going through this evening. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Bible says here in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Even there in the Old Testament, God desires for us to serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Look what David says next to his son. He says, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts." If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong to do it, or do it. Take your Bible and look over at Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, and the Lord desires for us to serve him with a perfect mind and a perfect heart and a willing mind. But look over at Acts chapter 14, verse 24. Acts 17, 24. Acts 17 and verse number 24. Acts 17, 24. Here the Bible says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, nor is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and it determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. Look what the Bible says, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Jesus Christ, now that we're saved, then they weren't saved like we are saved yet. The disciples have not had the new birth. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. The Holy Ghost has yet to be given. And they're on that sea. Yet I want you to realize, even in the condition and the state that they were in and the position they were in, Jesus knew exactly what they were going through and what they were struggling with. What a blessing it is today that if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ now abides within, and there is nothing that happens in our life that the Lord is not aware of. Nothing. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows when a sparrow falls in the woods. He knows everything that is going on, and we can take comfort in that this evening. The disciples are out there, and they were some kind of men. I know if I was out there on that ship in the middle of the night, and a storm comes in, and I'm on this little boat, and I'm being tossed around, I would be a little bit afraid. Brother, I don't like going on boats pretty much, at least especially going out into the ocean. I don't really have no desire to go out on a boat. That's one of the reasons why I never joined the Navy. I didn't want to go out there in the middle of water and not be able to see no land. I'd rather be in a plane and it go down and crash than to be on in the ocean and the ship sink and you just sitting out there, you know. That is just not me. I like water. I like going in water. But I don't want to be in a ship or on a boat to where I can't see no more, no land. And then I can't imagine sailors and those that are on ships being out in the middle of the ocean, especially in olden days when you didn't have the Weather Channel or AccuWeather to tell you that a storm's coming up, like something like a hurricane. I could not imagine being in the Navy or in the old times when they were sailing across the Atlantic and they come up on a hurricane. I could imagine what that would be like to be in that ship tossed up and down and around and hearing the boards creak and wonder if it's going to stay together and water coming in over top of you. That would be quite overwhelming to be in that type of a situation. But the Bible says here the disciples were in this situation to where the waves were tossing them and the wind was contrary. It's late at night. They're in darkness. They can't see anything. Yet what a blessing to see verse number 26. The Bible says in verse number 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now, not only are these disciples having to deal with the wind and the waves and the ship and making sure the water doesn't come in and overflow them, and they're trying to take care of all these things, they're trying to row and they're toiling with pain and agony, trying to get to the desired heaven. Now they look out into the water and they see what appears to be a spirit, and they're scared to death. I would be too, brethren, if I'm out there in the middle of the night rowing, trying to get somewhere where Jesus told me to go, and I look out there in the water and I see what looks to be a spirit walking on the water. Put yourself in a disciple's position for a moment. They never seen nothing like this before. What could this thing be out there at this time of the night walking what appears to be on the water? That would be quite a sight to your eyes in that moment of darkness, and it scared them. The Bible said they cried out for fear. Because not only do we have to deal with these waves now, now there's a spirit out there walking on the water. But what a blessing, the Bible says in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Those are some wonderful verses in the Bible. Be of good cheer. He doesn't just say, Jesus just does not say, it's okay, it's me. No, he says, listen, he says, brethren, I want you to, he says, disciples, be of good cheer. Be happy, rejoice, for it is I. Don't be afraid of what you're going through. Some of the other passages of Scripture, Mark, I think it's Mark or John, says that Jesus made as if he would have passed by them. They see this spirit out there, and Jesus, the way it seems he was walking to them, but he was walking in such a way that if they hadn't cried out, he'd have kept on going. You see, there's a part that we have to do in our Christian walk. We need to cry out to Jesus. We need to cry out to Jesus in those times where the waves are so heavy and so high and it seems like there's no hope. We cry out, brethren, we cry out to the only one according to Scripture that can help us. There is no other entity on the other side over there that can help us in our troubles and in our trials than Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. He is the one with whom we have to do. He's the one that we're securing. He's the one that we need to make intercession for us. He's the one at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you and I. He is our great intercessor. Our intercessor before God is not Mary. Mary is not our intercessor. It is Jesus Christ, and the only Jesus Christ can hear our prayers and answer them and give us the help that we need. They cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Brethren, I don't know what tomorrow holds, I don't know what next week holds, I don't know what this winter holds, but one thing I do know is that Jesus holds the future. And I know whatever we may have to face in our life, fear will try to creep in because the devil works by fear. He wants to get us into a position to where we're scared, we're afraid, we're frightful, we're fretful. And Jesus says tonight, he says, sons and daughters that are mine, he says, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Jesus knows and Jesus can help through any trial or storm in this life. It doesn't mean that Jesus will take away the storm. He'll merely help you through the storm. Sometimes he won't stop the storm. And I think that's a lot of times where we get discouraged and we cry out and we say, God, why won't you take away the storm? He says, I'm not taking away the storm because it's needful for you to go through the storm. But this one thing you know is be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We feel like maybe we're out of the will of God because the storm doesn't go away. And Jesus says the storm won't go away, but I'm here for you. I'm here, I'm with you, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Be not afraid, Jesus says. Then we go over into verse 28. To me is one of the blessed scriptures in the Bible. In verse 28, the Bible says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to walk on water in the midst of the storm. No other opportunity that I know of in Scripture to where a man has the opportunity to walk on water to go to his Savior. Brethren, I can't even begin. And this, Peter doesn't even have the new birth yet. I've heard preachers before get on Peter. I have no idea how you can get on this man in this situation here. He says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come." And Jesus, all Jesus says is, "Come." I don't even know how to describe it. How do you describe stepping? What's the first thoughts in Peter's mind as he steps out of the ship? What is he thinking when he steps out onto the water? It's a miracle that God does something here with Peter, but Peter had enough faith to step out of that boat in the midst of the storm, leaving this... Peter is leaving the only safety he has in this moment, the only thing that he can hold on to help him through this difficult time. And he realizes that this very thing that I'm holding on to, the only way that they can help me and save me is if that man gets in the midst of it. If that man ain't here, this is going nowhere. There's a lot of Christians today, they're holding on to something, and it's maybe a good thing to hold on to, but maybe the Lord wants you to release that thing into the storm and walk over to Jesus on the water. To me, this is one of the most powerful places in Scripture where a man steps out of the ship in the midst of a storm and begins walking on water to his Savior. Coming to the Lord Jesus provides an opportunity in the midst of the storm to be a testimony to others. There is no other way, like I said, to describe this event other than it being a complete miracle and work of the Lord. As believers, the sons and sons of God, we have the ability through our Savior to walk upon any trial, tribulation, or turmoil that may come across our path. All we need to do is look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Take your Bible and flip over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Look unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 verse number 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Take your Bible, flip back over a couple chapters in Hebrews, to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. Hebrews 9, 28. Looking unto Jesus. Peter looked to Jesus and was able to walk on the water. The Bible says in Hebrews to look on the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 says this, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Look to Jesus. Don't look to the world. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Don't look to the world to give you the help that you need during these trials and temptations and turmoil. look to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can provide that help. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. And look what the Bible says here. Isaiah 31, 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Don't try to go to Egypt for help. Don't try to go to the world to help. Though the world looks like it may be able to provide the help you're looking for, in the end it can't. The only one that can provide the help that we need in these last days that we're living in is the Lord Jesus Christ. The same book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me." Micah says in Micah chapter 7, he says, "My God will hear me." So Jesus is on the water. Peter begins to walk out to him. Yet Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to look and see the winds boisterous. Now, he can't see the wind. He sees the effects of the wind. The wind's blowing. It's contrary. It's lifting up the waves. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus and begins to look at the problem. And that's when he begins to sink. You all know this story. But apply it to your spiritual life. Anytime that we begin to sink in despair, in fear, in anxiety, it's probably because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. If the eyes are on Jesus, it don't matter what's going on all around us. The Bible talks about, I believe in Psalms, it talks about though all the world should fall away and there be nothing, yet if our eyes are on Jesus, he sees and knows and he upholds us. Jesus Christ can uphold us if the whole world were to fall apart today, if he so desires. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, "Pastor, how do you keep your eyes on Jesus?" Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are what they which testify of me." Who testifies of Jesus? The Word of God. Jesus said to the Pharisees and those that were around them, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." How do you get power? How do you get strength? How do you get encouragement to face these things? By searching the scriptures, by studying the scriptures, and in doing so, they will lift you up, they will strengthen you, because you'll see that there were others who went before you, and the Lord saw them through, even up to the point of them very crossing over into eternity. Now, I'm going to close with this thought, because I was talking with somebody late Saturday night, and they were talking about being afraid of dying. This was a young person, and they said, "Brother Chris," they said, I'm scared to death right now of dying. I've got this overwhelming fear that of death, and I don't understand why the Lord's not helping me with it, and I can't get these thoughts out of my mind." And I said, "Listen, I said, you're not going to get the grace you need because you're not dying. God's not going to give you the grace because you don't need it, because you're not dying. The Lord will give you dying grace when you're getting ready to die, and not until then." And the enemy, I'm afraid, was plaguing this young individual's mind with death, but they're not at the point of death. There's nothing in their life that is even pointing towards that. And so I said, brother, you do not have to worry about it yet. And God's not going to give you that grace because you're not there yet. You don't need it yet. The time that you need it, God will give you that grace. Search the scriptures, study the word of God, know what the Bible says, and find the power of God through reading about others who went through difficult things in this life. Lastly, when Jesus gets into the ship, as soon as they willingly receive Jesus into the ship, and I would too, if I was there with them, I'd have said, Jesus, come on, get in here as quick as you can. Soon as they got in that ship, immediately the wind ceased, and immediately they were at their desired heaven or haven. Brethren, that's what occurs with us in salvation. When we get saved, immediately we are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Immediately. Our salvation is not a process. When we're saved and we're born again, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and immediately we're seated together with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Immediately we're at our desired haven of rest there in heaven. You say, preacher, that makes no sense. You're exactly right. It does not make any sense. I don't understand why the Bible says that because I'm still here. But the Bible says that in Christ Jesus, I'm seated in heavenly places. I said this before, and it blows my mind away, that when you read the book of Revelation, in some aspects, you're reading into the future. And it talks about how all those individuals are around the throne of God worshiping Him. And if you're saved, that's us. Think about that for a moment. John, on the Isle of Patmos, while the Lord is giving him the book of Revelation, when he goes to heaven by the Spirit up there to heaven and he sees these things, he is able to look into the future and see you and I worshiping God before the throne. You want to talk about glorious. What a thought that if we're in Christ, we're already there in Him. We just got to live out these last few days down here before He calls us on home. That's all it is, brethren. Just a few more weary days down here. Pilgrims, strangers, looking for that city that dwells on the other side over there. We're just a passing through, brethren. This isn't our home. Someday the Lord's coming back soon and we're getting ready to cross on over there to appear before God on that throne and worship Him through all of eternity. You see, the wind ceased. Immediately they were where they wanted to be. You see, there is peace and comfort that accompanies true biblical salvation. The winds of guilt, strife, despair, and hopelessness cease immediately as one in Christ Jesus and seated in heavenly places, as I've already stated. I'm going to finish with three scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. I'm going to read verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Him. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Take your Bible, flip on over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians, next book over, chapter 4, and look at verse number 7. Philippians 4, 7. You know what? Jump back up to verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And look what he says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Paul tells the church there at Philippi, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then look what happens. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says, don't be careful. Don't have any worry over anything. Don't be worried about your circumstances. Don't be worried about your trials. Don't be worried about the storm. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with the attitude or with thanksgiving, in this mode, let your request be made known unto God. And as you make this request known unto God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it won't make sense. It cannot make sense because it's God doing it. It will pass all understanding, and what it will do, it shall keep your hearts and your minds through who? Through Christ Jesus. You look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You make your prayer, you make your supplication unto him with thanksgiving. You rejoice always. And through that you say, Lord, you take these thoughts, God, you take these fears, Lord, they're yours. Lord, your word promises me, dear God, that you can give me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And Lord, through Jesus Christ, dear God, I ask you, Lord, to help me to keep my heart and my mind where it needs to be. And that's focused on what Jesus has done for me. To where you don't lose hope. You don't drift into the pits of despair. But you're made strong through Jesus Christ to pass through the storm. The last verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, chapter 14. The Bible says here, Romans 8, chapter 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I love verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, how? In us. Paul says here to the Roman church at Rome, he says, you're not even to compare what you're going through here with what it's going to be like over there. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when we're over there. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work in your life and in my life. May God help us to get to the point to where we can look to him as we're going through the storm, knowing that he sees us, he hears us, he knows all that's going on. And when he looks at us in that situation, he sees us not in a place of despair, but in a place of crying out to him in prayer and supplication, making my request made known unto him. for strength and help to keep my mind and heart on Him, and ask for His help to make me to stay faithful through the storms that I may face, to where I don't quit, to where I don't go back on Him, to where I don't turn my back on Him, but I draw closer to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank You, dear Lord, for these precious brethren. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this story here that You've left to us, dear God, of what the disciples went through. And Lord, how they got on that ship and they toiled and they rowed and the wind was contrary unto them. And then the wonderful part of the story, Lord, where Peter walks on the water. God, I pray You'd help me, Lord. Help me, dear God, to have the same faith as Peter, dear God, to walk on the water towards You, dear God. To help me, Lord, not to take my eyes off of You and take my eyes and put my eyes upon the circumstances around me. Lord, help us to walk closer to You in these last days that we're living in. Help us to stay faithful. Help us to continue to fight the good fight of faith, dear Lord, to finish our course and to keep the faith. Help these brethren now, I pray this evening. Help myself, Lord, as well. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Let's finish up with a song here tonight, page number 390. Page number 390, if you're able to stand, page number 390. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Cry out to You. Lord, help us not to try to weather these storms on our own, but but to rely on you to see us through and have faith to step out of the boat. We just pray that you would help us as we go our way tonight, that we remember what we've heard. Help us to be encouraged if for those of us that are in the middle of a storm, and take this encouragement with us as we go. Bless this time. Thank you for those that came out tonight. Bring us all back safely the next time to meet. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.